Now keep on celebrating this, that I had a mother and dad, my dear brother, that wouldn't keep us out of church. They made us go to church. They celebrated the first druggies. They drug us to church. They drug us in and out of church constantly. Oh my God. Yeah. And I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. They were always taught us in the Word. I have firm conviction in my heart that this Pennsylvania, this United States, this world is in the condition it is in because we, the church. Because we, the church. And you have a pastor that is passionate to help all of us become that church. Would you soon to sing here? Let me read the next scripture. Now get this setting. Here in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus was trying to get his disciples to realize that he's going away and that they need to know that his kingdom was not of this world. They wanted him to set up a kingdom in this world. And so he was endeavoring to get them to see what the true picture should be of who his church is. And this is what he prayed. I told you, John 17, I am doing what I tell you to do. Every week I want you to listen to read John 17 or listen to John 17, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and then also Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, fourth chapter. Okay, write it down. I am going there myself. I do not do something, I tell you to do something that I don't do. It's transforming my life, folks. When you understand God's Word, now this is what Jesus prayed. Let me tell you something. When Jesus prays something, it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah! It's going to come to pass. Meaning He will have a people that will be His people. It's up to us. Listen. John 17:9. I pray for them. He's talking to His Father now. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine ownership, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine. The one in the Godhead. But Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There's all one right there. That preaches, really. And I am glorified in them. Hey, Jesus is saying, I am going to be glorified in you. Interesting. Yeah. And now, I am no more in the world. But these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name these whom Thou hast given me. Man, every little phrase here is a preaching phrase. That why does he want that they may be one as we are? Get the Holy Spirit's picture on this now. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou givest me, I have kept. You talk about security. Wow. And none of them are lost, but the son of perdition. He's talking about Judas here. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You're talking about what you're, my Lord, we need to display who Jesus there is telling us we need to be, okay? I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. It's not going to get any easier, folks. I want you to know that. Because they are not of the world. Say, I am not of the world. I am not of the world. Hallelujah. Come on. Even as I am not of the world, and they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Same. Rapapa. I pray that thou shouldest take them. I pray not. Now get it here, folks. There's a time and a place that we are here upon this earth. And as long as we're here upon this earth, look what Jesus is saying. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Harabakusata. In Jesus' name, there is a new keeping power that is being placed around you in Jesus' name. And you will not allow Satan or his demons to overcome you in Jesus' name. How many receive that? That's the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Now, here's the main two verses. 16. Again, Jesus is praying to God, his Father. And what he prays comes to pass. And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Come on. Holy Ghost, let that sink in each one of our hearts here today. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. This is Mission Sunday. You are getting a new commission from Jesus himself. Just like God sent Jesus into this world, today Jesus is sending us. Exactly. He's the pattern son, Brother Ben. By the time we begin following him, and I have a firm conviction, there is a gentleman, Howell Harris, back in the 1800s, said this. If you've been on your knees asking the Lord, we need to be on our knees asking the Lord that everything we do, this is what he said, that everything that God does through us will help us adjust to meeting the needs that are before us 24/7. Let me try to explain that a little bit more. Our daily prayer, remember I've been telling you, Lord, I want to live out of your heart. I have a new prayer. Lord, anoint me 24/7 to meet the need of every problem and challenge that comes before me. I wonder what would happen if just us in this room would take this serious and make it our prayer. Wow. It's not about me. Not about you. It's about him. So I give you a new prayer focus. Lord, anoint me every time I go any place. anoint me to minister to the need that is right before me. Do you know why we can? Because our needs are not met in Him. And we need to understand. And this is what He's trying to do. So we want to sing a song to declare that we're going there and we mean business today. Brother Ben, if you could lead us, I'd appreciate it. Listen to the words. Look at the words.
Without one plea, but that thy blood has shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen. Just as I am, and though tossed about. Brother, can you run that for me? I apologize, church. This thing's acting funny for me. We're going to move to verse... Thank you. Tossed about with many a conflict. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflicts, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Now there's a verse I want to sing. It may not be in there, but just listen to the words. Just as I am, I would be lost. But mercy and grace, my freedom bought. And now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come.
Lord Jesus, we all come to you today. We surrender our lives just as we are. And we're so thankful this morning that you are blotting out every sin, every doubt, every fear, every worry, so that we can be a true temple of yours, individually and collectively. Seal this to our hearts today, we pray. And we want to thank you for our brother who's come to the altar as a prophetic declaration of total surrender of his life and our life. He is in us and we are together here with us this day. And we're saying, Lord, we surrender. And we thank you for that today in your righteous and holy name. Oh, God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. How many can say amen? Amen. Thank you, Brother Ben. Thank you. And that's what we are, a prophetic people. And we need to see it and understand it. Just as I am. This morning, as we were praying, and I encourage anyone to join us at 6 o'clock Wednesday morning and at 6 o'clock Sunday morning. And and I appreciate the different ones that join us at times here. And this morning, as we were talking about this very thing, it was just in all our hearts. And 2 Timothy 2:21 put it this way, "If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." I tell you what, I think this is powerful. You know, we are sanctified. And Paul's talking to young Timothy there. And then he goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect. Everybody say perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I believe that we need to make a decision that that's the kind of man and woman that we are today, following after Christ in all that He has declared us to be and to do. Now, if we can put that PowerPoint up, I am helping us. The Lord has been putting this together and for the last couple months. And when Tuesday nights we're going here and having it's a sharing together, and we're learning together deep. For right now, it's starting around the conference table in there, and if it grows bigger, we're going to grow bigger. But this is developing a prophetic culture, and this is what we are doing. See, my thing is not working here for some reason, Ben. And but developing a what is a prophetic culture? Let's just first look at culture. Just leave that up there just for a minute. Okay, go back. You have to help me. What is a culture? Culture. We want to look at culture. What does that mean? The word culture is a word for people's way of life. And that's what we're talking about, people's way of life. Meaning the way groups do things. Different cultures do different things. I had the glorious opportunity with my daughter to travel to Philadelphia yesterday with someone from Cambodia. And we were just getting into her culture. I'd love to find out people where they're at. Do you know what? They live differently than we do here in America. And she was showing us the beds that they slept on, you know, or just mats and that ground, dirt floor. Very fine young woman. But that's her culture when she goes to Cambodia. A culture is passed on to the next generation by learning, whereas genetics are passed on by heredity. The definition of culture means a particular set of customs, morals, codes, traditions from a specific time and place. An example of culture is the ancient Greek civilization. Culture is defined as the high degree, listen here, of taste, knowledge, interest in arts, literature, and scholastically field. Now, one thing that I appreciate, I love culture. One of the best things that we had last Sunday was a pig roast, and this young man from Puerto Rico, he has a different culture. And thank you for going there with us, my dear brother. I love it because they live different. And Brenda, you had to adjust a lot being an American and then being adjusted to this Puerto Rican here. You had to adjust a lot. But you began to adjust, you know, and you are a living example of really what culture is all about, and that we can learn to celebrate one another's culture. And so the meaning of culture is to identify a feeling of belonging to a group. Very, very important. And we use the illustration, that's a highly cultured person. You know, we talk a lot about that. Culture refers to a climation of deposits of knowledge and experience and beliefs and values, attitudes, meanings, religion and notions and rules and people in a particular generation or a group. Culture is the sense the systems of knowledge shared by a relative large group of people. Culture is communication. Communication is culture. You only talk what you know. How many can say amen? What you learned in your culture. Culture is communication. Communication is culture. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? So, very important for us to understand. Culture is a way of life of a group of people, the behaviors, the beliefs, the values, the symbols that they accept, generally without thinking about them, and they are passed along by communication and imitation from one generation to the next. Let me say something. We in America have lost our culture of what this nation was founded on. I mean, I can't believe that there is people in America that they can abort children. I can't believe that in America they say a man can marry a man and a woman. We got away from our culture of what America was founded upon. Can we say amen? Help me, Jesus. So, I believe that we need to get back and understand that in the beginning of time, Adam and Eve were a prophetic couple. Because God walked down with them in the cool of the day. God was in their every thought and everything they did. And they spoke prophetically. And that's why God said over Adam and Eve, everything is good. And go and replenish the earth. But because of sin, they lost the prophetic culture that God originated had them wanting to walk in. And so, developing a prophetic culture, let me just go over this here if I can, quickly here. We're doing this on Tuesday nights. Roah, the one who sees prophecy. We're talking about prophecy, the one who sees. It's a bubble up, the one who speaks, particularly on behalf of another. How many know when God begins to speak to you? I don't know about you. I have fun, Brother John, when I'm with people and God begins to show me something and I say, okay, how am I going? Something bubbles up within me. Anybody else feel that? I love that. Bubbles up within me. And yeah, God wants to speak. And what can I do to give it to the right way? And so that's part of it there too. Prophecy. You can hear God's voice because He created me with the ability to hear Him. I don't have to be perfect or to know everything in order to hear Him. I hear His voice because I am His sheep. I've chosen to listen to God's voice. Are you? I hear. I listen. I'm His sheep. Okay? Isn't that good to know? We're the sheep of His pastors. He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. And it's very important for us to understand that. And so, I will begin, let's read this together. I will begin to hear with greater clarity. Come on, together. Let's confess this in Jesus' name. I will begin to hear with greater clarity, confidence, and consistency. The more I listen, the more I will hear. God, I commit myself to a higher level of listening and hearing your voice. Thank you, Lord, for wanting to speak to me and for the privilege of hearing your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Why not? Are we willing and ready to move to the dimension that God is ordaining His people to move into in Jesus' name? And then we're going to be going on Tuesday nights into what is a healthy prophetic attitude. And we'll be dealing all that. But one of the greatest things here is it's amazing. Look at this. A prophetic come on, but about values and principles. Very important. And to be chattistic and growing such a culture is important, very important, to address issues of culture before structure. Our culture is the kingdom of God culture. How many can say amen? Amen? We're going to learn to be the culture of heaven. How many know we need a little help there? I do. Okay? And this is the key here, right here. Let's read it all together. Seeing Jesus as King and His kingdom arriving here and now. The main attitude. Okay, you can turn that off. And so, I want you to know Justin and I are moving into this direction together. We sat down last night here because I honor our brother for how he is moving and has been mentored a long time, a good 10 years into the prophetic and he's been on presbyteries and that around the world. And I want to honor my brother for helping us through this too. And we give God all the praise for that. Now, I need to help you understand there's so much. What is a Christian? If we're going to be developing God's culture, then we need to understand what... You can turn that off if you would, please. Okay, just the... we're coming to that. That will be our... We'll start this at the end of the service here. Okay, just cut that off if you would, please. And you can put scriptures up as I give them to them. Okay. What is a Christian? What is Christianity? Christianity is the world's biggest religion with about 2.1 billion followers worldwide. And it is based on the teachings of Jesus Christ, who lived in the Holy Lands over 2,000 years ago. Very important. And the term Christian, as we understand it here today, refers to anyone, a man, a woman, a child, who trusts in Jesus, all right, as his or her Savior and Lord, and who strives to follow Him in every area of their life. That's a believer. That's a Christian. And we place great stress on the importance of an individual, personal relationship with Jesus Christ 24/7 now. You know, I want to submit to you, my heart goes out because some of you, and most Christians, do not have a 24-hour personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Well, do you always act like Jesus? We're all included in that. I'll put it down. Okay, can we say amen? Remember, my number one responsibility as a professional motivator is to get you to think. That's why I'm here for. Do we understand that we are not living 24/7 the Christian life? All hands should go up. Come on. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. If we are not honest with ourselves, then we are not manning up or womaning up. Help us, Lord. No wonder the church is at the state it's in. Help me, Jesus. Amen. I tell you what, I'm at a place I've never been at to before, but I believe it's high time that we woman up and man up. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him from birth to glory. That's an old song, man, getting it out of, to be like Jesus. We used to sing that years ago, Dad, remember that? But let me go there and tell you, we all need help. Can we say amen? We all need help. So why don't we begin to come to that dimension of understanding. What is a Christian? Well, no wonder you have the saying, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be any part of it. So it's very interesting. To be a Christian, we believe is in the right relationship, is to live out, to be lived out by, first of all, your way of prayer. Prayer. You can list these down. There's four things here. Four things. Prayer. The study of God's Word. You know, God help us. How much time do you individually and corporately, go with me here for a moment. How much time do you spend in the Bible? Take a stop. No wonder. And see, that is the book that we follow. We say we follow. Prayer, the study of God's Word. If you want to be a real Christian, if you want to be and develop into the Christian that God wants you to be, it's prayer. Oh, I tell you what, I have some of the greatest times communicating with my Father in heaven. I tell you, that should be the most precious time of our day. But my dad taught me, 24/7, I can be in communication with the Father. I like that. Whatever I need, I just talk to Him. He talks to me. That's a beautiful study of God's Word, fellowship with God's people. The Bible tells us we need to do it the more as we see the day approach. We need to get together in groups and that and just share together, encouraging. Brother Justin and I were just talking about it, that we want to see weekly times that you have in your home, getting people in to pray and just to talk about God's Word. Why not? If we're going to change our culture, if we're going to change our city, if we're going to change America, if we're going to change the world, we got to start it right now. Right where we're at. Start bringing people in and encourage them in the ways of God and minister to one another and set people free. Hallelujah. And then, service for others in Jesus' name. Just going out and loving, just to help others. And I see Brother William back there and Jesse. Jesse is an amazing man because he loves to take the trips. Brother Jesse, come on up here a minute. Come on up here a minute. You're here this morning and he's a good Amish man that... come on, Jesse, come on up here, brother. I just want to celebrate my dear brother because, William, amen, we need to, amen, in Jesus' name. And I start connecting with him 2 years ago, and he's, hey, you're okay, you're just perfect, amen. You're just one of the youngins today. Hey, don't you feel good? I love to put people on the spot, though. No, but he's not on the spot because this man is divinely engineered by God. When you went over to Haiti, why did you go over to Haiti?
We were building a house, two houses for a family that lived in a dump, and there were 17 people in that family, so we were going over there to help them.
And what did that do to you when you went over to Haiti?
The main thing that I learned was that They have nothing, but they're the happiest people. And we have everything, and we are the grumpiest people. That's what I learned.
What would you tell to us about culture, going to minister to other people in other cultures?
What I would say is, before you go, learn how to return to your own culture. That's what I would say.
Learn how to return to your own culture in what way? Getting him to think. That's okay.
Return to your own culture is what happens is a lot of people go and they learn how to go to a culture, but they don't know how to return to a culture. And when they come back, they go through culture shock. And it's not good. That's what I see.
You're saying that we need to change a little bit.
We need to learn how to return.
Hey, amen, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesse. Thank you so much, really. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand for him. Because this is what's amazing, is that we believe that it's high time we change culture. And we believe, as Brother William is really working with him in that regard, to take young people to another culture, but making sure that they learn the ways of God here in this culture. So thank you, William. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. God bless you for going there with us here this morning. Culture, culture. It's all about culture, culture. So it's what I'm saying, the Bible backs up that that the final analysis, it is intensely personal and individual matter, not a question of church membership or doctrine orientation. Because the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Whosoever shall be called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity, put it this way. He said, Lewis used the term to refer to the body of core Christian truth, which is common to believers from all kinds of churches. We are an interdenominational ministry, and we strive to remain faithful to the spirit of St. Augustine's famous motto, which said, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. The Bible tells us that we need to love everybody. How many can say amen to that? And that is our number one responsibility. And so what we are looking at here today, which I want us, with the help of the Lord, to understand that prophecy needs to be alive and well in the body of Christ. And let me just go there with you. As I was studying this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. As we are developing, and we want Brother Chick to come up here soon too. We do missions here this morning. We are developing the understanding, and this is where I'm saying 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. It has to be embodied with love. For homework, I want to give you all that opportunity to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And read chapter 13 more than anything else. Because Paul puts sandwich that between giving us a picture of what the church should be about. And then he goes into chapter 14. And it's very interesting, my dear brothers and sisters. Chapter 14, he starts off by saying this, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mystery. But, look at verse 3 here. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those are the three ways. But he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesies, look at this. What happens? He that prophesies edifies what? The church. Now, as we've been going there concerning one thing that I am thankful for here in Grace Chapel, that we want every one of you to desire spiritual gifts. All right? We want this body to exercise. We're a Holy Ghost exercise gym. Very important. Now, look at this. Everyone, as I've been studying on this, and this is where I want to go, in Jesus' name, as we learn the more perfect way. How many know we need to learn the more perfect way? As I've been studying on this in the last couple of weeks here, and particularly, and I'm just excited about seeing every one of you speaking the word of the Lord to everyone you meet 24/7. And this one church that, as they were developing this very thing, and they have people trained. Get this. Hear me. They have people trained that anybody who comes in the doors of the church, that they're very sensitive. There's someone needs a word from the Lord. Not everybody will get the word, but there are people back there in the narthex being sensitive. Now, what? Put this in your thought pattern. What would happen if you go into a new church and you walk in and someone speaks your heart right where you're at? Wow. Now, let me give you that principle. I never have seen this until this study I'm going in. Now, look at verses number 22. Here Paul is trying to help us understand that if you speak in tongues, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. But the issue is not for you just to edify yourself. I mean, people will think you're crazy if a new person comes in and you just talk in tongues all the time. They think you're crazy. That's what he tells us here in this chapter 14. But then look at this. In verse 21. Let's go 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Now, come on, let's grow up. He's saying, come on, grow up. I like that. Paul gets very practical here. Look at this. Howbeit, in malice be you children. I mean, you will act like children. If you're a child, you will act like a child. But he goes on, when you become a man, you put away what? What? Hey, how many know that sometimes we as adults still act like children? Amen or oh me? But look at this, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But, everybody say but. Remember, that conjunction but carries a lot of weight. It means it cancels out everything prior to it. For the wages of sin is death. But, what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for the buts in our English language, okay? But if all prophesy, everybody say all. All. Does that include me? Yes. That includes every one of you. All. All prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifested. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I think it can be no plainer. And this is where we want to go. Now remember, this whole thing has to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But you get the picture. I want to see that happen. Everyone that is not saved gets on their knees when they come through those doors. How can it be if we recognize that 24/7 we are in relationship with Almighty God? He is always speaking. How many know we need to go to a little level higher? How many can say amen? I'm trying to paint a picture to you of where God is expecting his body to move to. Now, how many know that we realize that all of us are not there? Can we say amen? Our responsibility should be to help one another. How many can say amen? Amen? Brother Ben, I want you to get ready for your that other song here. But I want you to share something.
I just want to, again, encourage you. Who here identifies himself? It's going to sound like a silly question, but who here identifies himself as being a believer under a new and better covenant? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. Good. Then you're in the right place. You know, Peter says this when the Holy Spirit poured out. He reiterated a fulfillment of prophecy that happened through Joel. He says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God," he says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy." Who here are sons and daughters of God? Okay? Okay. "You shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." You know, if there have been some who says, "Well, I've heard this," that, "Well, Brother Justin, I believe we're coming into the last days." I have a news flash for you. We've been in the last days for over 2,000 years. And if we have this mindset, hear me, and we'll get into it on Tuesday nights, this mindset, "Well, I think, no, yeah, I know, but I think we're coming." No. If you think we're coming to something that we've already been in, then no wonder why you're not discerning the voice of God in the day that you live. Because if you understand, as Peter spoke, he goes, "Now it is that which Joel has spoken." He prophesied it didn't happen yet. God still had some prophets in there. But now under a new and better covenant, when Jesus as the only begotten Son has made a way available for you and I to not just, you know, have eternal life, but that we could be restored in fellowship with God. That means is that God's intent through His Son was to restore us to a place as Adam and Eve had before sin became an issue. It was a place of unhindered fellowship. You know, let me just say this. There was no need, there was really not an idea of operation as we read in the Scriptures of, you know, Adam and Eve as prophets per se. They were prophetic by virtue of knowing the voice of God and being unhindered to knowing it. To be prophetic is to know the mind of God, the voice of God. And I really want to encourage you. This is not a suggestion. I'm really encouraging you to come on out on Tuesday nights, because we're all called to be a people who would know the voice of God in our walk, in our life. There's times we make choices every day, whether they're small or whether they're great. And sometimes we say, "Well, I think that, or I understand that." You know, God's ways are beyond our understanding and our ways. And one thing I want to encourage you is every question I ask myself is in major choices in life or maybe not just choices, but in God's will. But what did God say? What did God say? He's not just the last resort. He is the beginning and He's the end of my life, of my choices, of my walk. In the morning, "Lord, what's on your docket for today? What's your desire today?" And so if we're identifying, and if you're thinking, "You know what? I really do need to know the voice of God in my walk." You know, there's a lot of things that go on in the world today, and I have people who come to me and say, "What is God saying?" And these are people who aren't believers. And they're coming to someone and say, "What is God saying? Why would you ask me?" Because you walk with Him. You have a fellowship with Him. And we'll get into discerning as far as having prophetic unctions and actually walking office of a prophet. But the Bible says that, Paul says to Timothy, all are called to do the work of the evangelist. And Peter also encourages through Joel, all who identify themselves as sons and daughters are able to prophesy, to generally know the very mind of God. I mean, if there's no fellowship with Him, there's no relationship with Him. If we don't live a life, you know, if my wife and I, we're married, but if we don't talk anymore, we may be married, but we have no relationship. Because relationship is based on two people involved in one thing, both communicating. If I pray and I'm not leaving time in my prayer life to actually hear what God has to say and respond back, or even if I enter in before I have things to tell Him to give my ear to hear what the Spirit has to say, if I don't have that, it's a relationship's not a one-sided street. That's how having a prophetic ear to hear grows. So I want to encourage you to come on out Tuesday nights. Pastor Mel and I are going to be dealing with this, and we're going to walk together. And it's going to be—I'm really looking forward to it. I've been blessed to have a rich impartation in my life of not only operating in the prophetic, but also being taught by other seasoned men of God. But I want to encourage you is that as freely I've received, my great desire is to freely give so that we can encourage all as a body of believers to be able to discern together what is the voice of God and what isn't the voice of God. Not just knowing, well, I only know it through that person. No. We're all called to go to the Father and hear His voice and walk with Him daily. Amen? So I want to encourage you with that. And some other things I'm sure in the future, but I want to take away from the rest of the service. God bless you.
Lord Jesus, just lay your hand on your heart here. Lord, will you prepare our hearts so that we can be a true body, a prophetic people, a true culture, a prophetic culture, to go give the word of the Lord all around the world. For the band, just lead us in this prayer, in this song the Lord gave me that we need to sing. Just want you to sit and want you to sing it with us together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. And the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my home secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Brother Gordon, do we have that verse? Okay, you have one more verse. Yeah, go ahead, sing it. Yeah,
when the earth shall.
Yeah, go ahead.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. Sing, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. And you are forever mine.
Lord, we believe it. That's why we confess it, Lord. And we want to thank you. My chains are gone. My chains are broken. Amen. Can you say amen? You may be seated. Gordon, do we have that verse or don't we have that verse? My chains are gone. Is that on there? You don't see it on there. Okay.
It's probably the wrong song.
We lost it. Let's sing it one more time without it. My chains are gone. Let's decree it in Jesus' name. Okay.
My chains are gone. I've been set free.
Come on, I believe it.
My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy
unending love, unending love,
amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom.
Thank
in this
Lord.
House, Lord, in everyone's Hallelujah. Life, Lord God. We thank you for freedom. Holy Ghost, freedom, Lord God. We declare it, we decree it. Over every one of us for what you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Ben. This has been good. I tell you what. You know how the Lord's orchestrating things. We just want to give you opportunity before you leave here to just do. This is Mission Sunday. And I just wanted to, can you put that PowerPoint up, if you would please, for Mission Sunday. And the ushers just to get ready for an offering for missions. Hasn't this been good this morning? Did you learn something? Were you given an opportunity to see something from a whole different perspective? Amen. So pray over this. Believe it. Ask God to make it real. Brother Chick, yes. Okay. Now, yeah, here, you talk about this.
The mission board decided they wanted to feature different people every month. So we have Margaret and Clifford Schistler's name up there. They have the ministry there in Paraguay.